The hymns and other details of the service are printed on a cap sheet, most of which are in the back. You are up there on the choir music rack if you need to quickly get a sheet. All the hymns are from the Lutheran hymnal. We also have the hymnal rack on the back as well. We begin our opening service of Emmanuel Lutheran High School, College, and Seminary in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In preparation for our address today, a reading from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the first 16 verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We continue our service singing hymn 402, printed in your service book, hymn 402.
Oh.
and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God before us today as the focal point for this opening service comes from Hebrews 12, the first two verses, which are printed in the service folder. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As you may know, today, August 21st, is the last day of the Summer Olympic Games going on in Brazil. It is customary on the last day of the Summer Olympics to have the men's marathon. This is a grueling foot race spread out over the road in cities' streets, covering a distance of, I believe, 26.2 miles. To get a sense of how far that would be from a runner's perspective, imagine if you were to run from here to Messiah Lutheran Church, turn around, come back to here, turn around, go back to Messiah Lutheran Church, and then come back here. If you accomplish that, you would be 2 miles short of a full marathon. This picture of the Olympic marathon can be a helpful image for us to relate to the truth of our text and the lesson it has for us today. Whether you like to run, or you don't like to run, or you can't run anymore, you and I, along with all believers in Christ, are destined to be marathon runners in a spiritual sense. As we learn from Hebrews 12, we are set to run the race of our faith in Christ. Now, the complete progress of that race will involve three things. First, that we consider all the winning runners who have gone before us. Also, that we cast aside everything that would ruin our race. And very importantly, that we concentrate on Jesus as the sure hope of victory. In the Old Testament to begin with, and also the New Testament, the Bible uses this image of walking a journey to describe our faith in Him. But not in the way that we're accustomed. When you came here to campus, you arrived by a car, you sat in a moving vehicle, which brought you here with relative ease and comfort. For most people in Bible times, their journey from point A to point B was on foot. They walked. Now, naturally, the Bible would use that picture of walking a path or a road to describe our whole life as believers in Christ, following the Word of God persistently and trusting its promises. Now, in the text of Hebrews 12, this path is more like a race course that is so very long because our own believing in Christ will need to last all the days and years that we live in this world. It is a super marathon in which the runners, the believers, have been crossing the finish line one by one ever since Adam and Eve. As you run the race of your faith, take a look back. Look back, not at the progress you've made so far, not at the path itself. Look back historically at the successful journey, the victorious running of all those winning runners who have gone before us. Verse 1 mentions so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. That refers mainly to the Old Testament believers described in all of Hebrews 11, with a special focus on their faith in God's promises as a key characteristic. They all believed in something and someone that they could not see only because of God's say-so, His promises to them in His Word. They all died, still waiting for those promises, the ones about Jesus, to come true. In each case, though, their Christian death was a great victory because God gave them what Christ would win for them, eternal life in His presence. That pattern has continued all the way up to the present. And therefore it includes our brother in Christ, Ron Horak, recently retired from Emmanuel, who died this week. In his victory service yesterday, we were able to rejoice in the fact that Ron also has crossed the finish line and gained a permanent place at the gold medal platform of heavenly glory. As part of the students' education at Emmanuel, we devote valuable time in religion class to a closer examination of these winning runners as recorded in Genesis, Exodus, Kings and Chronicles, and also the New Testament counterparts in the four Gospels and the book of Acts. What we notice in the history of these people who have gone into heaven before us is the path to follow, the pitfalls to avoid, and the potential for victory. It's all the same for them and for us. The same path, the same pitfalls to avoid, the same way to finish as a winner. Now consider, they all made it in spite of their sinfulness. In spite of their sinful tendency to fail, they made it because of the Savior and what He did for them. In the original text, the word race, running a race, has a linguistic link to the English word agony. You don't have to be a runner or a jogger to sense that running a marathon would be, in its own way, an agonizing thing to do. Very difficult. And given the difficulty involved, the runner needs to be properly dressed for movement. These marathon runners in Rio de Janeiro did not put on three-piece suits to go out running. They did not fill their pockets with metal objects or wear a backpack. Of course, you put these things aside. Those runners need to be as lightweight as they possibly can. Well, our text instructs us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. In the race of our faith, the path of God's Word is clearly marked up and certainly reliable. But to the left and to the right are so many things that Satan, an expert race interrupter, tries to use to get us to veer off course or lead us to quit all the temptations that we face. The bad influences out there, the false teachings too, these have the potential to work against us effectively because that internal part of us that is not converted is still gullible and all too willing to go along with it. As we run, we still have the sinful nature dragging us down, tripping us up, and causing a serious detour off course. So in large part, that reality is what makes our own race of faith a struggle, its own form of agony. We have to fight against ourselves, what we think and what we want by nature, in resisting temptations and staying clear of bad influences. When we fall into this sin or that sin, we get back up only through repentance. That is a necessary constant part of the struggle. As we identify our own sin that easily ensnares us, bring it in godly sorrow to our gracious Lord, and have Jesus remove it through His blood, which cleanses us from all sin. Then, as rejuvenated runners, back on course, we are all the more mindful to cast aside everything that would ruin our race to the finish. In the race of Christian faith, there will be no first place, second place, and third place finishers to collect a handful of medals. There will simply be those who finished and those who didn't. And unlike the famous marathons at the Olympics or other venues, human exertion, personal dedication, individual perseverance, all of that's doomed to fail in the spiritual realm. No one has the heart and the stamina to make. The only way to finish is to rely on the one who started your faith from the beginning. That is, you concentrate on Jesus as the sure hope of victory. As our text puts it, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That passage is a great reminder that we don't place our faith in our faith. You don't believe in your own believing. For saving faith to be exactly that, one is believing in Jesus, who caused it to be so. He is the author, the originator, the starter of our faith, by the very fact that He is the object, the foundation of that faith. Think of it this way. There would be no faith if Christ had not fulfilled God's plan and carried out His work of salvation. His perfect life of keeping the commandments for us and His sacrificial death to pay for all of our sins are the unchangeable facts and truth of the gospel, which, as Paul wrote in Romans, is the power of God unto salvation. And that power includes creating faith in Him as well as causing it to be stronger. He works to sustain and strengthen it in our hearts too. Here at Emmanuel, we count on that gospel power as we train students for the marathon of their Christian life. while joining in the running right alongside with him. We race together as a team who help each other along the way. But more important, as we run and face problems of one kind or another, we keep that focus, that concentration on the one who has already won the victory for us. In the greatest act of stamina ever, he endured what our sins deserved when he suffered on the cross. He did not let the pain of that cross, which included God forsakenness, what our text calls the shame of it, derail him or run him off course. He had his sights set, his focus on the joy laid out before him. The joy of restoring his creation from the burden of the curse. The joy of causing our sins to be washed away in his blood. And the joy of reversing death, his and ours, through the power of his resurrection and ascension, all the way to the right hand of God. That's where Jesus has landed to bring about the fulfillment, absolutely, of his joy. From his supreme exalted position, where he controls everything, he is working tirelessly, successfully, to bring his people home, one by one, through the Spirit sent into our hearts. By that same Spirit working in the Word, he picks us up when we fall. He brings us back on course when we veer off track. If we weary with a spiritual fatigue, he keeps us moving all the way to the finish line, because he is 100% dedicated as the finisher of our faith. In our Christian education efforts at Emmanuel, and also at your churches and schools around the church body, we bank on that promise. We make it our goal, our prayer, that all the students, all of God's people, all of us, are led to concentrate on our Savior as the sure hope of victory. Your victory in the marathon race of faith in him. Amen. We continue with the first five stanzas of hymn 485.
brother Paul, Professor Paul Naumann. It was 16 years ago the roles were reversed. And how honored I was to have you to install me as pastor of Redemption Lutheran Church. And it's an honor to install you today as professor here at Emmanuel. I remember shortly thereafter, we both were engaged in a building project at Ascension Lutheran in Tacoma. And I remember spending many hours working together with you to build just a building. And also when we got to the cross up on top, I remember how great joy you took in seeing it up at the top. Now you have the great building project of preparing God's servants for the pastoral ministry. The building materials will be much different. But what a joy it is of knowing that the Lord promises us great success by using the building material of His Word. And you also have the great joy of not lifting up a cross built out of metal, but the cross in people's hearts by directing them to our Lord Jesus. I wish you the Lord's richest blessing in doing that. Dear brother in Christ, we know from the Word of God that our Lord Jesus Christ ordained and instituted the office of the Holy Ministry in His Church here on earth. Our Lord has given the promise that He will at all times give to His Church men qualified for this high and holy calling. The ability to perform this office, however, is not inherent in man, but comes alone from God. That's why St. Paul writes, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Our Lord has not promised, however, to bestow this ability directly, but He grants it through His Holy Spirit by the means of instruction and training of His sacred word. Our Lord Jesus taught His disciples for 3 years, and then gave them the commission to teach all things whatsoever He has commanded. St. Paul, as great apostle, faithfully instructed Timothy and other servants of the Word, as he indicated in the words addressed to Timothy, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." According to this precept and example of our Lord and His Apostle, our church body, the Church of the Lutheran Confession, has likewise adopted this method, and in Christian liberty has established this institution of learning, Emmanuel Lutheran High School, College, and Seminary, in which the future servants of the church are taught and instructed. Plus, others may receive a thorough Christian education to prepare them for their callings in life. Accordingly, it is a very high and important office to which you, your brother, have been duly elected and called. You've been called to instruct in biblical Hebrew, Old Testament exegesis, and other theological disciplines. And in all your teaching, you are hear strictly and without wavering to the truth of the Word of God, as revealed in the canonical books of the Old and New Testaments, as this truth is set forth and expounded in the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, contained in the Book of Concord. You are applying yourself with all diligence and consecration, in public and in private, to the requirements of the office to which you have been called. The Lord of the Church would also, by your faithful service and assistance, prepare able and faithful teachers and shepherds for His wonderful harvest. This shall be your comfort and encouragement, that your office that of the professor here at Emmanuel, is of God. That the Lord Jesus Christ himself has promised to be with his faithful servants, and that not even the gates of hell shall prevail against his church. Moreover, we, as a CLC, shall hold you in love and esteem, remember you in our prayers, and render you all necessary support, so that with cheerfulness and confidence, you may effectively perform the duties and functions of your office as professor. Now I ask you before God and our Lord Jesus Christ, full dependence upon his grace, the presence of this assembly. Are you ready, after mature consideration, to assume the office of professor here at Emmanuel Lutheran High School, College, and Seminary, and to fulfill its duties according to the ability which God gives? To so declare before God in this assembly by saying, I am.
I am.
You believe that the canonical scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are given by inspiration of God and are the perfect and only rule of faith. And say, I do.
I do.
You accept the three ecumenical creeds, the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian, as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scriptures? And do you reject all the errors they condemn? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Do you believe that the unaltered Oxford Confession is a true exposition of the Word of God and a correct exhibition of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? And that the Apology of the Oxford Confession, the two catechisms of Martin Luther, the small call to articles, and the Formula of Concord, as contained in the Book of Concord, are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith? Then answer, I do.
I do.
You solemnly promise that you will perform the duties of your office as professor in accordance with these confessions and with all your teachings, that it will be in conformity with the Holy Scriptures and with the aforementioned confessions? Then answer, I do.
I do.
Now I induct you as professor at Emmanuel Lutheran High School, College, and Seminary, with all the rights and privileges, duties, and functions thereof, according to the Word of God and the Constitution of our church body, the CLC, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Merciful God, Heavenly Father, since we, your servants, must confess with your apostle that we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but that our sufficiency is from you alone, we therefore pray that you would give your Holy Spirit to this, your servant, in rich measure. Grant that he may faithfully perform the duties of this high and important office, and that he may firmly teach and confess your holy word in its purity against the devil, the world, and the flesh, against all error and unbelief. And that he may also be an example in faith, in love, in patience, and in all Christian virtues to the other members of the faculty and to the entire student body of this institution. And that your name may be hallowed, your kingdom be extended, and your will be done. Stir up the hearts of many parents to dedicate their children to the service of your faithful vineyard, and continue to build your kingdom here and elsewhere to the end of our days. Hear us, for the sake of Jesus, our Savior, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
prayers for the continued blessings of Emmanuel are here offered. We pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, you have created and completed all things. On this day when the work of our school begins once again, we ask you to create its beginning, direct its continuance, and bless its end, that our efforts may be preserved from sin, our lives sanctified, and our work this year be well-pleasing to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. O God of peace, who has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, we come before your throne in behalf of the faculty, staff, and students of Emmanuel. By your grace, you have allowed us to establish this school as a training ground for pastors and teachers of your flock, whom your Son redeemed through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It is your will that men and women be trained to lead the sheep and lambs which you have brought into your fold. Therefore, we commit into your gracious care our high school, college, and seminary. Give to our instructors a double portion of your Holy Spirit. Grant unto us that true humility which brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and his word. Let all instruction and training constantly be governed by the fear of the Lord and the truth of his word to us. Give to all the students the willingness to receive your word and the diligence to apply themselves to their studies with a prayerful mind. By your Holy Spirit, equip them completely for a godly life, so that they may be prepared to take their places as leaders, teachers, and pastors of your flock. Grant unto our staff a love for your sheep and for the work of service to you. Help them to work together in peace and harmony. Look graciously upon their efforts and bless their labors, so that your name may be glorified by all who benefit. Lord God, these are the last days of great distress on earth. We are in dire need of missionaries to gather lost sheep into the fold. We are in need of shepherds for the flock. We are in need of wise and zealous laymen to hold up the hands of the shepherds. Lord, move the hearts of your youth, that they may desire the office of the ministry, and bring them to us, so that we may fulfill the work that you have called us to do. Grant to our parents peace of mind in the knowledge that their children are under your watchful eye and are being instructed in your truths. Bless our church body. Give to pastors, teachers, and laymen a steadfast faithfulness to your word and a love for all sinners. Let your word in their mouths be the power unto salvation to all who hear. Bless also our brethren in foreign lands. Let them see the beauties of your holiness and grace. Let the church flourish and grow in their midst, so that the heathen may come and find rest in the truth that you have given to them. Bless the leaders of our nation, our president and Congress, our governors and state assemblies, and all others whom you have appointed for the establishment of peace and order in our land. Give them the willingness so to rule that we may carry out your work without fear. Richly bless this school year, O Lord, for Jesus' sake, in whose name we also pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We close our worship this afternoon singing the four selected stanzas of hymn 292. Thank you. There may be other announcements. I have one. We ask that the ninth grade students come up to the stage right after the conclusion of this service. Any other announcements?